Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We got some real bad feedback there, and it seems to have dissipated. That's very nice. Quite fantastically, actually. All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, where mercury light bulbs are the norm, as everybody has a part-time job as one, because the radiation level from Fukushima is so freaking high, which apparently is very also good for the economy, and everybody says that they feel much brighter. And my very special guest today is known only as Richard, coming from an undisclosed bushman's hut, allegedly. In some description of New Zealand mountain range with sacred, presumed to be extinct flora and fauna around him. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vinny. That was a brilliant intro.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about who it is you are and what it is you do, and then we'll go. And then we'll get into some discussion.
Sure. Well, I run a website called wakeupkiwi.com. It's been live for a little over 2 years now, and I guess I kind of, there's a lot of websites out there with the whole truther type material. They generally have a North American or European sort of focus, and really what I didn't see there was a lot that had more of a local sort of New Zealand / Australian focus, and so really I sort of started as a bit of a portal to sort of collate interesting articles. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there that's internationally relevant, but where I can, I just put up articles or information that's particularly relevant to New Zealand and the Pacific, I guess, really. And when I can, I sort of do a lot of research and put together articles or sort of little PDF-type publications if I find something that is of interest, and I think other people might find it interesting too.
Well, can we start off and think about why it is you decided to do this? Was it just the fact that you'd been following this for a while and saw that there was nobody in New Zealand really doing it?
I guess I've been aware of all this sort of stuff for quite some time now, and I guess after years of looking at, you know, other people's efforts and websites and things like that, it just occurred to me that potentially people in a place like New Zealand could feel a little bit alienated because, you know, there didn't seem to be a lot out there that sort of was inclusive of a place like New Zealand, and there's obviously a lot of people here who are sort of awakening to stuff that's really going on. I thought it might help for people to feel a little less isolated if they could find something with a bit of a local flavour to it as well.
Well, I guess you're kind of doing it for the same reasons I did then.
Yeah, and I mean, I had discovered your site probably only a few months before I decided to put this together. And I think everyone, you know, there's a lot more local stuff out there now. And, I mean, you're coming at it from quite a different direction than I am because, obviously, you're more of a broadcast focus and interviewing people and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm in no way disrespecting the efforts that other people are making, but you're very good at doing it the way that you do it, and it's certainly not the way, you know, it's not a natural fit for me. So, you know, the whole interviewing people stuff, but the approach I took is sort of, I guess, one that's more suited to my personality, where I can just sort of collate interesting tidbits and upload them.
Yeah. I mean, well, some of us are born to do what you do because, you know, you do what I can't, is just the going into the extraordinary detail, the reading, the patience that it takes, the analysis, I don't have that. For me, it's mostly on the fly in interviews, so it's actually your part of the media and people like you with a similar skill set that are really the basis upon which shows like mine can exist. And often the people that really get interviewed, because they're the ones who do all that really hard research.
Yeah, and I guess that, you know, we're complementary in our differing approaches. And
like airplane peanuts.
Yes, just like them. But I really, you know, I'm staggered at some of the research efforts that people put into. I mean, mine's fairly lightweight by comparison. I really only have the gusto and inclination to do it if it's something that I really have an interest in. And I guess for people that do a lot more of it than I do, you know, they're obviously inspired to do it, because it's not the sort of thing that you can force yourself to do if you don't really have the stamina to go through all the research and whatnot. But if I latch onto something that I find interesting, then it makes it easy.
Yeah. Oh, we're about to be killed off by a bunch of ruthless exterminatory sociopaths that have been at it for quite some time by passing progressive legislation and making us even more and more enslaved day by day. Man, that's really interesting. I'm going to start looking into more of that.
Yeah, it does tend to provide one with some impetus to get off one's backside and try and help out.
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate thing that was for me, wasn't it? Is okay, I can either work full time and be a slave and have creature comforts, or I can expose scumbaggery full time and basically be more or less just a hobo with an internet connection.
Yeah.
You know, I think I made the right choice. Whatever you can with whatever tools you got, you know.
Yeah. It's quite a commitment that you've made there, yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a slave job as well as doing what you do?
From time to time. I've been doing a lot of contract work and sort of entrepreneurial type stuff. So it's a bit patchy sometimes, but it's kind of a better fit for me than the old full-time grind that I did for so long. But it doesn't come without its challenges.
It doesn't? Well, what kind of challenges was full-time work putting up with for you?
What I was meeting there was with contracting and entrepreneurial type endeavors. You know, when things are good, they're great. when you had a bit of a rough patch, it's not so flash. But I guess I was in my last full-time job working for a particularly nasty multinational behemoth, and I learnt a lot and had some great experience, but I kind of always felt like I was a bit of a I wasn't the best fit there. I could pull it off, but I always felt like I was some sort of like I shouldn't really have been there. Yeah. But, I mean, and a lot of people that get driven towards that sort of career stuff who don't know any better, you know, it's easy to live that sort of life when you don't see what you're doing. But I think that's why a lot of people like us find it pretty difficult to stomach something like that, because it doesn't sit well.
No, it's like you know how Spider-Man has a spider sense? Well, I think when you become informed about various elements of scumbaggery, you start to get a kind of scumbaggery sense, and you get into this this mode whereby you understand that you can actually feel it, you can see it, you can start to put the puzzle together about these people that I'm working for are setting my scumbaggery sense right off, you know? And you can't shake it. Once you can see it, once you can think about it, you see it everywhere. And it comes to the point where you're like, how do I even make a living if all the people that are making all the money engage in scumbaggery?
Yep.
And I think the answer is to try and make money off of exposing scumbaggery, because it's an infinite resource. All right? They produce the work for us. And people love seeing scumbaggery get exposed, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Yeah. Give the people what they want.
And I think it's becoming more and more prevalent now. Like, my father, even just listening to Ian Wishart on the radio there, and he's, you know, things that he would have never entertained thinking about a few years ago, you know, the likes of the climate change scam and all of this carry on. You know, people who a few years ago would have been completely blinkered to this sort of material are now sort of starting to go, well, hang on a second, this doesn't make sense. What's all this Agenda 21 carry on? It actually has real world relevance to them now, and it's no longer fringe. And they get a kick out of seeing this sort of stuff exposed, and they go into that fear bit for a while, and then eventually come out the other side and go, well, you know, there is something that can be done about it.
We've said on the show many times that it's very much like losing a loved one, is finding out the truth. You know, you've got all those stages. You've got those stages of denial, depression, aggression, and then finally acceptance, kind of thing.
And then there's the wanting to do something about it.
Yeah, well, I guess that part is sort of left out of the whole death in the family sort of thing, because you can't really do much about it when you're dead.
That's true. That's true. Unless you become a medium or something.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, the last thing is the last stage is acceptance, right? You accept that there's a new world order. You accept that there's a plan that is working to enslave and exterminate the population of the world. What then? And truthers often talk about this thing, oh, I want to wake people up. You can't wake people up. How did you wake up? Well, I sat down and watched 160 documentaries or something like that, radically changed my thinking. Okay, did anybody force you at gunpoint to do that? No. Well, then nobody actually woke you up. You woke you up. And that sounds like the bike music coming in there.
Early shell from the ocean.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio and service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs and artillery batteries not included.
You don't need no gun control. You know what you need? We need some bullet control. We need to control the bullets. That's right. I think all bullets should cost $5,000. $5,000 for a bullet. You know why? Because if a bullet costs $5,000, there'll be no more innocent bystanders. Yeah. Every time somebody gets shot, they'll be like, damn, he must have did something. They put $50,000 worth of bullets in his head. And people are faint before they kill somebody. If a bullet cost $5,000, man, I would blow your head off if I could afford it. I'm gonna get me another job. I'm gonna start saving some money. And you a dead man. You better hope I can't get no bullets on layaway.
I believe that if we are to form a new country, we cannot be a country that appears war-hungry and violent to the rest of the world. However, we also cannot be a country that appears weak and unwilling to fight to the rest of the world. So, what if we form a country that appears to want both?
Yes. Yes, of course. We go to war and protest going to war at the same time.
Right. If the people of our new country are allowed to do whatever they wish, then some will support the war and some will protest it.
And that means that as a nation, we could go to war with whomever we wished, but at the same time act like we didn't want to. If we allow the people to protest what the government does, then the country will be forever blameless.
It's like having your cake and eating it too.
Think of it. An entire nation founded on saying one thing and doing another.
In this country now, there are a lot of people who want to expand the death penalty to include drug dealers. This is really stupid. Drug dealers aren't afraid to die. They're already killing each other every day on the streets by the hundreds. Drive-bys, gang shootings, they're not afraid to die. Death penalty doesn't mean anything unless you use it on people who are afraid to die. Like the bankers who launder the drug money. Forget the dealers. You want to slow down that drug traffic, you got to start executing a few of these bankers. White, middle-class, Republican bankers. And I'm not talking about soft American executions like lethal injection. I'm talking about crucifixion, folks. Let's bring back crucifixion, a form of capital punishment that Christians can really appreciate.
Dig this. In like a month, we've signed on to a secret trade deal which gives corporations power over our government and can take them to the world court and sue us if we pass anything that means that it threatens their economic viability. We've also allowed the US Coast Guard to now control our waters. We've also become a part of NATO, which will now control our military. We're also kicking out entire communities out of state housing programs in order to sell them to Chinese investors and using the religious people in the area, paying them off in order to tell those people, don't fight being evicted. And we've also just given the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, which is the equivalent of the Federal Reserve, sweeping powers to control the entire economy. And also, a new head of the Reserve Bank is going to come in directly from the World Bank. That's in a month! A month! That's like fracking up an entire country with 100 years of scumbaggery in a month! It's unbelievable! Oh my God. We're so frank, bro.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Get real and heal. Listen to Christy on Soul Journeys Radio. Live Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Actually, no. We're coming back from break now, aren't we? We're having a little bit of a rollover with the numbers. Can we bring that music in the background down just a wee bit? That'll be really nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. We killed it. Thank goodness we killed it. Okay. I like to kill ad breaks whenever possible, you know, with some form of joke, I guess. Can't really think of one now. Anyway, what were we talking about? Yes. After you wake up, what do you do in the morning? Get out of bed. You've got to work, don't you? So once you've accepted that there's a conspiracy going on, once you wake up to that and wake yourself up to it, you know, because nobody ever forces me to get out of bed. You know what forces me to get out of bed? Badly needing to go take a WikiLeak. All right. That is the only thing that will really force me is myself, my own body, and my choice to go and do what absolutely needs to be done. All right? And I think that analogy, not to put the word anal in there for any particular reason, works very, very well Indeed. Once you wake up, you've got to go out and get to work, okay? You've got to get to work exposing the New World Order. You've got to get to work replacing all of these poisonous products and cocktails of bioweapons and heavy metal contaminants in your house the frack out your door. You've got to get rid of all of these pharmaceutical medications and all of this disgusting fruits and vegetables that are sprayed with goodness knows what. And think about it. For a very long time before you start doing everything, because you've got a whole new life ahead of you now, right? It ain't going to be the same. You're never going to get your original life back, I assure you, because things will change around you anyway, and that original life wouldn't exist even if you wanted it regardless, but your perception of reality changes so that now only truth matters to you. And that's a really hard life. You'd be surprised how easy it is to get along through life just by lying to yourself and lying to other people. You'd be surprised the rewards that come with it. You get money, you get power, you get fancy clothes, you get great restaurateuring. I mean, it's just like what the reason people go into crime. It's because it's lucrative. All right? Telling the truth won't make you a rich man. Okay? Not for the equal amount of effort as telling the right amount of lies. However, the consequences to other people of lies are great. That's why you, the liar, accumulate all their wealth and ideas and power. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that. You can't lie and deceive people who only value truth. That's probably the one benefit I've found to thinking this way that I do. Richard.
Lenny.
Can I ask you, what do you think the plan is for New Zealand? The mineral resources, the geopolitical position of this country, strategic assets, this sort of thing. All those important elements which the World Bank and IMF have even listed down in leaked documents that they want to seize from countries in order to control them. Because you've done, as far as I know, a substantial amount of analysis on this globalist takeover of New Zealand. And I don't think I've actually had anybody on the show before who talks about that topic in specificity. And I'd like it if you'd indulge me.
Sure. Well, I guess what I've done in the research in this PDF, which is called International Ownership of New Zealand Banks, and it's got a very long sub-name, an analysis of the key majority shareholders of the main New Zealand and Australian banks, including a global overview and implications of the central banking / Federal Reserve banking systems. So it's very much got a banking focus, but and what you were just saying there just reminded me of an interview I heard with Evelyn from Aotea, A Wider Perspective, where someone asked her a similar question, and she was talking about all of our re-imported politicians, you know, the likes of John Key, the leaders of the Labour Party. I think there was one in the Greens and another one of the Reserve Bank, who have all sort of spent 20 years outside New Zealand working for these monstrosity United Nations machinations and globalist banks, and they sort of come back and get re-imported and slapped into these influential positions. And their agenda is no longer for New Zealand. They've been co-opted by these international interests who have either probably paid them off or threatened the hell out of them or both, and they come back here with this new mission, which is to basically strip the assets of the country for these, for their offshore masters. And I guess, you know, that's got more, not, it's not just a financial perspective, it's your mineral resources, your oil and all of gas and all of that sort of stuff. And I guess what I've done, it's got a bit more of a banking focus, but once you actually start...
Would you like to read it out?
Which part?
Well, I mean, how long's the document? It's like 20 pages, isn't it? We've got like about an hour and a half left in the show.
Oh, I don't think you want me reading the whole lot, but...
It's quite substantial. I mean, like, you know what's going on here, so you could actually take us through it and roll through and give us a brief summary, couldn't you?
Yeah, well, I can do that, sure.
Okay.
Well,
I'm just bringing up my screen now with the document so that we can even actually take a look at it there. And you might want to hang up that phone in the background.
It'll go here.
Oh, yes, indeedy, it is. All right, shall we
tell people where they can get their hands on a copy of this if they want to have a look as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You just go to wakeupkiwi.com. That's wakeupkiwi.com. Who owns New Zealand banks, I think, is a good Google search for you.
What? Yeah, it will come up under that, but you can also, if you click on the featured articles link in the left nav, it'll bring up a page and you can get it from there.
So if we go to wakeupkiwi.com and featured articles right here down on the left, oh, the little picture of John Key and the Freemasons, isn't that lovely?
Oh, that's a personal favourite.
Oh, yeah. I love it how these people just give themselves away. You know, we've got photos of him also at the New Zealand Zionist Society meetings. He's apparently like the head of the New Zealand Zionist Society, the head of New Zealand Freemasons, and the head of the country, and the trade minister, and the son. And oh my god! And he appoints all the ministers by hand. that control everything that the country does and all the policy and everything. And he used to work for the Federal Reserve. And Merrill Lynch, right? This guy is so dirty that it's oh my god. There were only three words.
The most beautiful part of that picture with the Freemason signs is if you check out the specific version of blue that is his tie. It's the Freemason blue as well, so he's just, you know, he's got it all going on. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Sorry about that. I was muted. John Key's one of three highly placed Freemasons in New Zealand, the other two being John Banks, who's John Key's coalition partner, who rubber stamps all of his policy that he purposely pushes through Parliament, and the other being Len Brown, the purveyor and the Lord Mayor of Dutch Ubershitty, the super city up here in Auckland, which has been modelled under the Agenda 21 document, according to Mels Barton, who came out in praise of voting for Len Brown because he was planning to use the Agenda 21 eco-city model. Yeah, we've got three Freemasons in the three top powerful positions in the country. There's nothing going on here. I love it. And aren't they all, you know, somehow linked to some form of scandal or BS or international foreign ownership or whatever? Okay. Well, let's go through the document, shall we?
Let's go through the document. I'm sorry, I'm ridiculous.
That's fine. So I guess the idea behind this, where it came to me from was I'd basically just been wondering who owned these banks. I had some vague... I knew they were all Australian-owned, and for some reason I thought it all neatly matched up that each one of the big four Australian banks owned one of the big four New Zealand banks, and in turn somehow that there were four big American banks that then owned the four Australian banks. But, of course, that's not the case. It gets much more fragmented. But, effectively, it is the same people that own all of them at the top anyway. And so I started, originally it was just going to be like a 3 or 4 pager type thing, but as I went into it further and further, I sort of started to make more connections and draw more parallels, and it started fitting into other work that other people had done. And so before long, it had sort of taken on its own momentum, and it turned into something much bigger than I ever expected it to be. But I never wanted it to be a long, drawn-out, yawny-type book. I wouldn't have had the stamina for that. That's why it's, you know, it's only a 20-page PDF with lots of pretty pictures where I could find relevant ones to put in there. So hopefully it's not going to put people off, because there's nothing worse than, you know, turning it into tragedy and hope and making people sit through lots of boring words. So I just tried to keep it kind of concise.
Mm. Well, where would you like to start? I mean, as you can see on the Skype, I've got the document open, and we're recording this. So if you'd like to just let me know where you'd like me to go with it and run through it with us.
Okay, well, I guess page one, which is the one after the contents page, probably.
Okay, yeah. Let's go down past the contents. Right, international ownership of New Zealand banks. Introduction, who owns New Zealand banks?
So, yeah, basically you can... The logos on the bottom there are the four main banks in New Zealand. And there's a list on the right-hand side there. There's 22 registered banks, and that list is from the Reserve Bank, because they all have to be registered with the Reserve Bank. And so we've got ANZ, which is Australia New Zealand Bank, which is owned by a similarly named parent company in Australia. We've got ASB, which is owned by the Commonwealth Bank of Australia. And you've got BNZ,
yeah,
and that's owned by the National Bank of Australia, and then the last one, Westpac, which is owned by Westpac Banking Corporation, also of Australia. So it's the first step's fairly sort of simple. It's only after that that it starts to get a bit more interesting, shall we say. And
so there's a whole bunch of different New Zealand banks. And basically, they're all owned by Australia. But those Australian banks are actually owned by other people, right? And so on and so forth, down the chain, like a shell game?
It is. It very much turns into a shell game. And it actually gets quite... it's quite funny, because if you look at... On page... At the bottom of page one, then, ANZ is actually partly owned by National Australia Bank, which also wholly owns Bank of New Zealand. ASB is partly owned by National Australia Bank, which also owns BNZ. BNZ is owned by National Australia Bank, which also owns part of itself by way of another company called National Nominees. And again, Westpac is partly owned by National Australia Bank, which also owns the Bank of New Zealand. So even at the first level, it's starting to get a little bit convoluted and raising of eyebrows. It gets a lot more interesting after that.
It's like Russian dolls.
Yeah. And so I guess if we then roll on to page two, I kind of figured the best, because I'm quite a visual sort of a person, I figured the best approach would be to lay this out with logos, because it's more interesting than a boring list. And it's interesting to note, I can't see your screen. Oh, there it is. On page two, where it's listing ANZ, you've got ANZ New Zealand, which is owned by ANZ, Australia New Zealand Banking Group. And the key shareholders of ANZ are HSBC, JP Morgan Chase, Citibank, Citigroup, UBS, and National Australia Bank. And those
National. So National Australia Bank, otherwise known as NAB, is that because they nab all the money off you?
Yeah. And four of those five main banks actually own large stakes in the other four New Zealand banks. So it's already pretty incestual there as well. And then there's a number of companies which appear for the first time.
And like Fidelity Investments, who have a nice pyramid with an all-seeing eye as their wonderful Freemasonic symbol and logo. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com with Richard from Wake Up New Zealand. Back in a moment.
Did you get a red light camera ticket? Red light cameras are a scam. The government and their corporate interests want you to believe they are about safety, but in reality they generate billions of dollars for private security firms like Redflex Incorporated, robbing you of time, money and energy. Don't let the flash steal your cash. At killredlightcameras.com, you can purchase a copy of You Don't Have to Pay, How Anyone Can Beat a Red Light Camera Ticket the Easy Way, by Red Light Camera Crusader Rory Joseph Brown. Rory figured out the secret that the courts, police, and private camera companies don't want you to know. That in fact, these cameras are unconstitutional. You Don't Have to Pay as a field guide to go from receiving your ticket in the mail to beating it in court in three easy steps. Hurry, act now. Go to killredlightcameras.com. Available in both PDF and Kindle versions. If you know your rights, you don't have to pay.
In this country now, there are a lot of people who want to expand the death penalty to include drug dealers. This is really stupid. Drug dealers aren't afraid to die. They're already killing each other every day on the streets by the hundreds. Drive-bys, gang shootings, they're not afraid to die. Death penalty doesn't mean anything unless you use it on people who are afraid to die. Like the bankers who launder the drug money. Forget the dealers. You want to slow down that drug traffic, you got to start executing a few of these bankers. White, middle-class, Republican bankers. And I'm not talking about soft American executions like lethal injection. I'm talking about crucifixion, folks. Let's bring back crucifixion, a form of capital punishment that Christians can really appreciate.
If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
This is a point I think is very important to stress to those in uniform and to those in the dark suits in government who are serving the system while not actually forgetting it, they're serving it. You have no power. I don't care if you're in the military. I don't care if you've got how many kind of stars on your uniform. I don't care what level of the police force you're in. I don't care if you're doing roadblocks. I don't care if you're pulling people off the street. I don't care what you're doing. You have no power. Your uniform has the power. Take your uniform off, put it in the wardrobe, where's your power? Go and get another job without that uniform, where's your power? You have no power. You are employed to animate that uniform, which is an extension of the state, and that's all you are, and therefore you are expendable.
Dig this. In like a month, we've signed on to a secret trade deal which gives corporations power over our government and can take them to the world court and sue us if we pass anything that means that it threatens their economic viability. We've also allowed the US Coast Guard to now control our waters. We've also become a part of NATO, which will now control our military. We're also kicking out entire communities out of state housing programs in order to sell them to Chinese investors, and using the religious people in the area, paying them off in order to tell those people, don't fight being evicted. And we've also just given the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, which is the equivalent of the Federal Reserve, sweeping powers to control the entire economy. And also, a new head of the Reserve Bank is going to come in directly from the World Bank. That's in a month! A month! That's like fracking up an entire country with 100 years of scumbaggery in a month! This is unbelievable! Oh my God. We're so fracked, bro.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Get real and heal. Listen to Christy on Soul Journeys Radio. Live Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. Now, let's continue on. We've got some banks here that are starting to be involved here in the ownership of New Zealand's national banks and Australia's national bank. And I guess it starts to kind of start climbing that chain there. So, Richard, if you could continue. You can see the screen still, can't you?
I can, sure, yep. Yeah, so this is where we sort of depart New Zealand and Australia, and it becomes very much an international sort of an affair. And you can see with these huge multinational banking entities that pop up as the owners of the Australian banks, and the sheer repetition of the of these logos, it all becomes pretty farcical pretty quickly. Because, you know, for the four big Australian banks, each one of them has a stake. Citibank has a stake in each one of them. HSBC has a stake in each one of them. JP Morgan Chase has a stake in each one of them. Fidelity is involved in most. And the same with BlackRock. And these are, Goldman Sachs is in there a couple of times. These are companies that keep coming up time and time again. So I thought, well, that's starting to form a bit of an interesting picture. And further on, at this point, I remembered about some research that some Swiss scientists had done, and I sort of was starting to see a list. We get to it later, but there's a list of the top 50 super connected companies. They basically ran about 37 million companies through a supercomputer and wound up producing this list of the top 50 companies that basically run the whole show. And I started to remember this list and watch the names starting to pop up, and I just thought, oh, wow. Because the research they did on it in itself is fascinating. But once you start to actually relate it to real-world stuff, local businesses and companies, it sort of takes on a different... It's all of a sudden becomes real. It's not just a list of companies you've never heard of before. You can actually see where their influence is starting to appear. And so from pages two to five, that's looking at these big international companies that own the four Australian banks. And then I thought, well, that's an interesting list of companies there that are owning the Australian banks. And I thought, well, why not have a look at who owns them? And from page six, that's what I started doing, basically. And so from pages 6 to 9, there's basically 20 key companies there. And I started to look at who owns the companies that own the Australian banks. And this is where it just became completely farcical, because they all own each other. There's certain key players that are, I mean, BlackRock is in virtually every single one of these 20 companies. Wellington Management, which has got nothing to do with Wellington, New Zealand, is actually an American investment entity with an Australian office. They're owning...
What page is that on?
So we're starting here from page six. So between page six is from page six to nine is basically
they're kind of a little bit jumbled up. Like I'm looking at page six when you're talking about what's on page one kind of thing. I think the document's a little fizzled. Can you see what I'm looking at?
I can see what you're looking at, yeah.
It says international ownership in New Zealand banks, but this is page 7 out of 20, is that correct?
Yep, you're in the right place. It does, I've tried to make it, keep it simple, but it's a little
bit... I mean, I'm just, when we're running through this, I don't know specifically about what page you're talking about, when you're talking about it, so I'm just kind of like all over the place, you know.
sorry, I'm trying to not be confusing. Let's just go then to page 7. So, first of all...
And page 7 says international ownership of New Zealand banks, yes?
That's correct. Okay. And you've got... Hang on. I'm not seeing what you... I'm seeing an ASB logo there.
Yeah, and just above it is the international ownership of New Zealand banks.
Are you saying that... Is it saying it's page 7 where you are?
Yeah, 7 of 20.
Are you looking at the Scribd version?
The Scribd version, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That website may have... I only uploaded it to Scribd yesterday, and I've found it's a little bit twitchy. I think it gets a bit confused.
Yeah. Well, see, here I am. I scroll up a page, and it... it says I'm on page 5 now, and that seems to be like more like... So there's a page there, a page there, a page there. Where the heck are we, bro? I'm confused. I'm as confused as Confucius.
Do you have the PDF version there? Because that... I think that website,
I might do. I might do.
I think that website is... it's got a little bit going on. I think it's... might have some gremlins in there.
Oh, man, I have no idea where I've got the PDF. I don't know if I've got it, actually. No, I don't think I do.
That's right. Anyway, well, I mean, where...
Where in the hell is it? Isn't it downloadable off the site?
It is. It will take you a couple of minutes, probably, to bring it down, because it's 50 megs.
50 megs?
Yeah. Well, it's print... resolution, so if people want to print it out, it looks pretty. There's nothing worse than printing out a document and having it look terrible.
Yeah. Okay, well, I've got it downloading. Well, here we are. 1, 2, 3. So where were we then? I've got it up here now.
Truck on down to page 7. It's... I mean, it really is the kind of thing that if you're reading through it page after page, it makes sense, but here I am trying to talk about it and not confuse.
Yeah, and not to mention we've got all the radio listeners who can't actually see what we're looking at.
Yeah. So I won't spend too long on this, but basically there's 4 pages there, and so what they are attempting to show is who owns the companies that own the Australian banks. And basically, in a nutshell, what it's showing is we've got 20 companies here. We've got Vanguard, Wells Fargo, BlackRock, Legal & General, Fidelity, Goldman Sachs, Macquarie, Fisher Investments, Commercia, World Asset Management, Everance, Wellington Management, Mitsubishi, Mellon Bank of New York, Northern Trust, Deutsche Bank, and Merrill Lynch. So we've got... There's actually 22 companies there. But these are the companies that own the Australian banks. They're the major shareholders, and they buy and sell their positions, so they come and go. But the interesting thing about these 20-something companies is that when you look at who owns them, they all own each other. There's a few random ones in here that come and go, but...
It's like a snake eating itself.
Yeah, virtually all of them have a stake in each other. Some of them are more prolific than others, like BlackRock and Fidelity and Wellington Management.
This means they're untouchable, because it means that if anybody ever messes with any of them, you're actually taking on the whole lot of them.
I guess you could see it that way, yeah.
Yeah, like if some unruly government, for example, wanted to kick, say, Wells Fargo out of their country, they'd have all of these other major finance houses saying different. They could implode and destroy your economy overnight if they wanted.
Yes, I guess that's possible.
Hmm.
So it's all very ancestral and...
incestuous is the word, I think.
Incestuous, okay, we'll go with that.
Although, we could call it incestual because it's both incestuous and ancestral.
Very good. Very good.
Would you like to continue?
Sure. Yeah. So it's really a visual thing, and I think when you look at start looking at the logos and the repetition of them, it kind of becomes the reality of it becomes apparent quite quickly and quite easily. So
it's the military industrial complex, in other words. This is the financial medical complex sort of arm of the New World Order.
I guess so. And if you roll down to page 10, that's going to be a little difficult to see on your screen there. Where are you? Maybe one more. Go down one more.
One more page?
Yeah. There may be a bit of lag. You might already be on page 10 and I can't see it.
Uh-oh, my computer's frozen. Here we go. No, she's fine, she's fine. Okay. Bugger, well, you're getting hidden into a break already anyway. Frack! This is not turning out too well. Maybe we should just stick with the conversation, eh? Because this is obviously well thought out. My bad. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com with Richard.
1973 was a year rich in dark and turbulent history, but through all the global and political turmoil, a shining light was born. The first celebration pipes were created on Lai'i Point in Oahu, Hawaii, 40 years later, and CelebrationPipes.com is marking their anniversary with a beautiful new finish in Victory Green. Celebration pipes are functional jewelry for the mind. Each lava stoneware pipe is noka oi, and still handcrafted by De Piper himself, fired twice and plated in 22 karat gold, then finished with more precious metals and lusters. Choose from pure gold, platinum, opal, black coral, purple haze, Hanalei blue, or Rastafire. And now the 40th anniversary, Victory Green. Many celebrities and heroes of the legalization movement have commissioned their pipes from CelebrationPipes.com, including Aerosmith, Bob Marley and the Wailers, Colin Young, Calapana, Cheech and Chong, Daryl Hannah, Keith Strew, Willie Nelson, Fleetwood Mac, Harrelson, Jefferson Starship, Marley. Come and see all the beautiful pipes and get your 40th anniversary Victory Green celebration pipe at celebrationpipes.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
all you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself, protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a two-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.